Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Hopefully the things I've got for us this morning will be good. I know that it's something that's that impacts me, and hopefully it'll be something that you can take from this lesson this morning as well and apply it to your life. But as we get started, I want to tell you a story. The story is, as a man was walking an empty beach one cold morning, he began to see another figure, another man walking towards him in a far distance. Slowly, they started coming together and approached each other, and he could make out that this local native was leaning down, picking something up, and just throwing it back into the ocean. So he did this time and time again the closer they got. And as the distance between them continued to narrow, the man could see that the native was bending down, picking up a starfish that had been washed up on the beach, and one at a time throwing it back into the ocean. You can imagine this man's just confused what he's doing. You know, why is this native just throwing this stuff back? So as he goes and approaches this man, he asks the native, "Why are you throwing these starfish back into the ocean?" Well, the native said, "Well, you see, it's low tide right now, and all the starfish have been washed up on to the shore. If I don't throw them back into the sea, they will die from the lack of oxygen." The man even got a little more puzzled, because he's thinking, there's thousands of starfish on this beach. You can't possibly save them all. And this same thing is probably happening up entire and along every beach up and down the coast. You can't possibly be making a difference. While the local native smiled at him, bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it into the sea. And he replied, "I made a difference to that one." I think about that lesson, and it's a very powerful lesson that we all need to learn. It has such an impact on our life that this power of one. Each of us here this morning is one person, right? We can do a lot of things collectively, but we can do a lot just as one person. Yes, we're limited. Yes, we're burdened with things and cares of our own lives and the responsibilities we have. And we may feel that there is so much more that can be done that we can't give. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's money. But when our life is over, there's still going to be millions of starfish stranded on the beach. But maybe we can't change the whole world, but we can change one person's whole life. And the thought is, one at a time, we can make a difference, if you're willing. Again, this story spoke volumes to me when I heard it, and I think about how individually I can make a difference. What can I do? And I want you to ask yourself this morning, what can each and every one of us do individually to make that difference in one person's life? So with that thought in mind, it also got me to think of different individuals within Scripture that we read of who really didn't worry about the odds that were against them, right? We think about men and women, some specifically individuals like Noah. We know what Noah did. We understand Abraham, the things he did. Moses. In the New Testament, we see Paul. And this is just to name a few. The list could go on and on. But today, I want us to consider the life and leadership of Joshua. Just like the story we referenced already about making a difference, it's impressive to see that Joshua had a great influence on his generation. We learn in Joshua 24 and verse 31, which Mike already read for us, it says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the works that the Lord did for Israel." Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. We don't want to obviously dismiss the idea that this was all due to God. I think as we go through our studies, especially here in Joshua that we're doing on Sunday mornings, we understand what God is doing. God was with Joshua and the Israelites, and he did many great things, such as we read over when God parted the Jordan River, how he had his hands in overtaking Jericho and the walls falling. We'll get to when God caused the sun and moon to stand still so Israel could defeat their enemies. Again, we can read, we can understand that through all of this, God is in control. And we must remember that. But for the sake of this morning's lesson, I also want us to consider that we need to give some credit to Joshua too. From the very beginning, the promise of support, God's support, hinged on one thing, and that was Joshua's faithful obedience to his word. And we can understand this, and we can see when he didn't, or when the Israelites didn't follow, what happened. We touched again on this morning in our Bible class. But we also need to understand that this same obedience goes for us as well today. If we want God's support, we need to follow his word. And this morning, we're going to look at Joshua, and we're going to use him as an example of what it takes to be a great leader and what it takes to be an individual that makes a difference. You know, when I think about this and the work that I'm in, and we understand the business world, the secular world here of our jobs, there are many hierarchies of management, right? We understand this. And many times we find just that. We find managers. We find people that are focused on just product in, product out. Everything's a number. But no one really is truly caring for the individuals. But if you look closely at some good managers, and you'll find that what makes them successful is not that they're managing, not that they're good at following reports and making sure the process gets done. It's that they are good leaders. They are the ones that care about the individual. They care about not just what's happening at work, but happening to them personally to make them better. So no matter your position in life, whether we're talking about business, whether we're talking about within the family, no matter if we're talking about in the congregation of the church, we all can and we all need to be leaders like Joshua. Every generation needs a good leader, especially in times of struggles and doubts. And we understand, too, just from history and even what's going on in our own lives today, there's always going to be struggles. There's always going to be doubt. So we can take from that and understand that, again, every generation needs leadership. In our lesson today, we're going to consider more closely the qualities of Joshua that made him the great leader that he was, so that we know what is expected of us. We can understand what's expected of me individually, you individually, and us together. And I first want us to consider that Joshua was a man of humility. We talk about humility. We've talked about a lot of different things. But to be humble is to simply to recognize our dependence on the Lord and to understand that we have constant need for his support. Humility is an acknowledgement that our talents, our abilities that we have, are really from God. It's not a sign of weakness, as some may think. It's not a sign of being timid, or it's not us being afraid. It really is an indication that we know where our strength lies. We know that God is in control. We even see scriptures, and we've read through Joshua already in our past studies, that we can be humble. We need to be humble. We're told to be humble, but we're also encouraged to be fearless. We can be humble, but as Joshua was encouraged by God, we need to be strong. We need to be courageous. If we look back, and we're not going to turn there right now, but back in Exodus 24 and verse 13, we see Joshua. Again, before he was really the leader of the Israelite people, he was willing to be courageous, and he was willing to serve others. We can see that he served Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. And even through Scripture, we're told that he was the assistant to Moses, or he was his servant. What we read and what we understand of Joshua is that he understood his role. He understood that he had an important role to play, and that role was to be a servant to Moses. But he also, on top of that, he understood the role of Moses. He understood that he had a very important piece in God's work, and Joshua respected Moses' work. But if Joshua was going to be successful, if he was going to be successful in his role of Moses one day, he would need to mimic and he would need to watch Moses and learn from his strengths and learn from his mistakes even. And we see through scriptures that Joshua did just that. And at the end of the book, in the end of the book of Joshua, he is referred to now as the servant of the Lord. Even when Joshua became the leader of the people of Israel, he was still willing to serve. I think that's something we need to realize and we need to understand. He didn't go into this position. He didn't think, he didn't have this arrogance about him that, okay, Moses is gone. Now I'm the leader. You're going to do what I said. And what I say must go. No, he still understood very clearly his role. And his role was still to serve. He understood that he was serving one greater than himself. And he needed God to protect him and to lead him where he needed to lead the people of Israel. He was to serve the Lord, and we need to learn from that. We need to have that same mind as Joshua, and we need to serve the Lord in everything we do. Joshua was a man of humility, and this trait is one that made him to be one of the many great leaders in the Bible that we can reference and we can look to as an example for ourselves. Joshua's humility is also demonstrated as we consider another great quality we find in him, and that is Joshua was a man of faith, and he trusted in God. If you will turn your Bibles, I'd like to read Numbers, the 14th chapter. We're going to be starting in verse 6. If you'll turn there to Numbers 14 and verse 6. Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we pass through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Obviously, this is just a small section of this passage, and there's a lot more things that are going on that we need to learn from. But before this passage, which we didn't read, we know that there was 10 of the 12 spies that demonstrated their lack of faith by the report that they gave to the people of Israel. They said, "We cannot overtake the land." The words they said was, "The people of the land are too strong and their city cannot be conquered." But Joshua, being one person, and Caleb as well, went against the ten. And even despite the peer pressure he may have felt, they demonstrated, him and Caleb, demonstrated great faith in God by their report. And we read in verse 9 there, it says, "The Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Again, Joshua put his faith in God. He didn't put it in the faith of the size of their army and who the people were they were going against. He put his full trust in God. He knew that what he had to say was not going to be the most popular words. He already had 10 saying the opposite. And he might have been ridiculed, but it wasn't going to stop him from stepping up and following God. Again, a lesson that he learned from watching Moses. We also see this in the fall of Jericho. The Lord gave him specific instructions. We studied this a few weeks ago in our Sunday morning class in chapter 6 of Joshua. But only full trust in the Lord could have led Joshua and the Israelite people through this and to follow such instructions I mean, instructions that we read and we even talked about that really didn't make sense. But that's what God had told them to do. He would do it by trusting in the Lord to carry it through. We too can have the same confidence to be pleasing to God in every situation if we obediently trust Him. Not what we think sounds right, what makes sense to us, but doing exactly what God has laid out for us. Follow all the specific instructions that He has provided. We need to live with the understanding that whatever God would have us to do is possible, and He is with us. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" It's a great lesson to understand, and great leaders realize that they cannot place their faith in men, including themselves. They must look to God. So the question this morning is, are you looking to God? Am I looking to God for support? We also notice another quality of Joshua that is very close related to this. How did he know to trust God? How could he put his full trust in God? It was because his word, God's word, proved that he is faithful. Joshua knew this. He knew of the history of the Israelite people. His success was directly related to his adherence to the word of God. To be successful, to ensure success, he had to fulfill all the law as given by Moses. If you would, I'd like to look at Joshua 1. If you'll turn there to Joshua 1, starting in verse 7. Again, we studied this not too long ago. But in Joshua 1 and verse 7, it reads, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, or do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Again, we see this encouragement to only be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. And to ensure that Joshua did this, he told him to meditate on it day and night, meaning know it. Know it inside and out. Many times we're guilty of just reading, and that's good, right? We read the word. We can probably quote where it is, but do we know it? Is it planted into our hearts? We know it when we read it here in services, when we go through Bible class. But when we go out into the workforce, when we go into school, is it right there on our hearts to where we know what to do in the right time? We see time and time again that Joshua was true to the word. Even at the end of his life, he encouraged them to heed God's word. And we read in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith comes from hearing the word of God. So can we really expect someone to be a man of faith without being a man of God's word? For those who would lead, we need to heed the charge of God that God gave Joshua to meditate on the word day and night. I'd also like for you to turn to the New Testament chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul gives young Timothy this same advice. He gives the advice that we should cling to with ourselves today. 1 Timothy 4, and starting in verse 13 through the end of the chapter, he says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scriptures, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourselves in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will both save yourselves and your hearers. Again, as we read there, he says, practice these things, immerse yourselves in there. And he says, why? The why is where he says, for by so doing, you will save yourself, priority one, right? And then priority two, you will save those that hear you. What powerful advice we can receive from someone like Paul. But also, we also need to remember what powerful advice we should be giving, the same advice to others. Are we immersed into God's Word today? Are we planting it into our hearts? Moving on to our study, and closely related to a man of God's Word, is being a man of prayer. We see Joshua praying for his people, praying in times of trial and in failures. Joshua was a man who did not trust in his own strength, but he looked to God for help. How many of us here this morning look for God's help before we run into troubles and trials? I know for myself, I'm pretty guilty that I like to just fix things. I feel like I can take on any matter into my own hands and I can just get it done and it'll be gone and over with, right? But then things don't work out the way they should because I didn't go to the right source. And I find myself getting weaker and weaker, and then we get to a low point in our life, right? And then, unfortunately, it's at that point we say, well, let's go to God. So we pray to God to help us. And then what do we find? Typically, when we go to God, the situation may not be any different, but we feel that ease. We feel the help that God is there with us. It's almost an instant relief. And you tell yourself, why didn't I do this from the very beginning? Think about how much I could have saved myself if I had just gone to God from the beginning. Joshua looked to God. Joshua prayed for help in every situation. If Joshua had not been a man of prayer, the help of the Lord may not have been with him and been provided. So today, when leaders need all the help that they can get, we need to be men and women of prayer. Go to God in any situation that is presented, good or bad. The last quality I want us to consider, and should be very clear at this point, is that Joshua was a man who put God first. Even in the middle of a military campaign, even though it would give their enemies time to join together in opposition, Joshua put God first and kept his commandments concerning the blessings and curses. And I'd like to look at Joshua chapter 8. Again, if you'll turn back there, Joshua 8 in verse 30 through 35. Joshua 8 in verse 30. And at that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has welded an iron tool. And they offered it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. In all Israel, sojourners, as well as native-born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood at opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, half of them in front on Mount Gerizim, and the half of them in front on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first, to bless the people of the Lord. And afterwards he read all the words of the law and blessings and the curse, and according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. and the women and the little children and the sojourners who lived among them. Why is this important? Why was this important to read? We learn that Joshua made it a priority in his life and those around him to put God first. He takes the time to renew the covenant and read all the law just as he had learned from Moses. He didn't care what others may think. He didn't really care what other people would say. He didn't care what the other enemies were planning. He was serving the Lord. His strong stand influenced an entire nation. And it influenced them for the good. Joshua put God first, and we must do the same today. So, there's a lot we can learn from Joshua. But there's a little bit more that we need to learn. And honestly, the thought behind this lesson when I originally put it together years ago was not necessarily about the leadership of Joshua. I think it's something that's great, and I think there's a lot of powerful thoughts behind it. But in my studies and hearing the story about how I can make a difference, I felt that it would be beneficial for us to learn from that. How can we influence our generation? But the original thought behind the lesson comes from the ending of the book of Joshua and the beginning of Judges, as actually Mike referred to. And I want to read Joshua 24, if you'll read there. We're going to actually read a little bit of a lengthy passage here from Joshua 24, starting in verse 14 through 25. And I want us to listen closely to these words. Joshua 24, verses 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in the sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forget your transgressions of your sins. For if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the Lord, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witness against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place the statutes and rules for them in Shechem. I find it interesting here in this passage that Joshua continues to stress the point of how the people needed to serve the Lord, even when they're there saying, we will serve the Lord. But Joshua knew the past of Israel. He knew how they could be wishy-washy in their obedience. So he continued stressing the point. It was going to be more than just accepting lip worship. Just saying, yes, we'll serve the Lord. But when you're put under pressure, you fall back into your old ways. But he didn't want it to be more. He wanted it to be more than words. He wanted it to be their wholehearted dedication to serve God just as God deserved. And we've already read it once, but if you look down in verse 20, chapter 24 and verse 31, we read that they did dedicate their lives. And it says, as we've read before, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the works that the Lord did for Israel. That is encouraging, right? That's impressive. Joshua's leadership led the people to have a strong dedication to the Lord through his life and through those of his generation. But I want us to now scroll forward a little bit to Judges. If you'll look at Judges 2, and I'd like to read verses 10 through 15. Judges 2, verse 10. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord and the God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hands of the surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand the enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. That's a little bit different than what we just read in Joshua 24, isn't it? And I think to myself, what changed? How did we go from a generation that was so dedicated to the Lord, that was so focused on pleasing God, to the next generation? We're not talking about two or three or four generations away. We're talking about the next generation that knew not God. How did they forget so quickly all the things that God had done for them and the Israelite nation? And to be honest with you, when we read the Old Testament, I know for myself at least, it's hard not to be angry with the Israelites. Like, how can you not see this? How can you keep going back to things that you knew were against God's will when God physically did good for you? And we can sit here. We can talk about that all day long. We can come up with assumptions of why they did not know God. But what we need to understand and what we need to focus on is that we face the same dangers today. We have a generation that knows less and less about God. And we need to be doing something about it. We need to be making that difference. This goes over and beyond teaching them the Word of God and just reading the Scriptures continually. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but those are important. Those are necessary things. But the thought I'm trying to get across is, how do we get our children, our grandchildren, to know God? To truly know God and have that established faith of their own. Generation after generation, I feel that we've done a great job at teaching the principles of the Bible and what God has done for us in every one of us. We read Scriptures, but what I feel we may have failed at, or what we are failing at, is how do we create that bonding relationship with God? How do we have that dedicated life to God because of the extraordinary things that He has done for us? Are we as parents the example that we need to be to our children and all that around us? Do they see a strong, a courageous relationship with God, to where we are living a life devoted to God? That is an obvious thing that is our focus. Or are they seeing us bickering? Do they see us hurting one another? Are they seeing us live selfishly, doing things for myself? How can I have more? What are you and I doing to make sure that this generation, and I'm not just talking to the parents, the grandparents, it takes all of us. We all, again, can make that difference. But what can we do to make sure that those sitting right in front of us know God? Many times in our life, we start justifying that we can do certain things. Our children can do certain things because, you know, what, they're not necessarily sinful, but what we don't see and what we don't pay attention to is that it may be sending them down the wrong path. It confuses them on what God expects them to be doing. Then we're surprised. Our minds are blown when they do not know God as they get older. So the question is, will they live like Joshua, where Joshua says, "We will serve the Lord"? Or will they be like the children in Judges 2 that knew not God? This lesson this morning has, again, it's spoken volumes to me. It's something that's on my mind quite often. And it's something that I feel is beneficial to all of us. But as we bring this lesson to a close, I want to ask, what kind of relationship do you have with the Father today? Do you know, do you truly know who God is? And does He know who you are? If you have not been baptized, then you don't have a relationship. You may be told by those of the world that you do, but when you look at Scripture, when we read through the Bible and we have the obedience as commanded to us in the Word, you don't have the relationship. And you need to take those steps now. You need to take those steps so that you can be part of the family, His family, and you can have that home in heaven. If you are a Christian, you have been baptized, and your relationship is not what it should be, then you can take this opportunity now and make changes in your life to have that close bond with God. And you can redevote yourself to Him today. We'd ask that however we can assist you this morning, that we do so by coming forward as together we stand and sing.